is your host, Pamela Burkett-Jones, career strategist, certified coach, consultant, speaker, and professor. And today's guest is Dr. Myesha Claiborne. Welcome to the show, Dr. Myesha.
Thank you so much, Pamela, for having me. It's a pleasure to be here. How are you today?
I'm awesome. You know, I know about you, but my audience and listeners don't. So can you tell us a little bit more about who you are, what you do, and what you represent?
Sure. So I am actually a physician by training, a family doctor. And for about 10 years, I practiced holistic medicine, which is integrating in the more natural and holistic methods into more of the traditional practice. Now, I've been sort of semi-retired for a few years now, having transitioned into what I do, which I'll explain in just a moment. But I, you know, as my background, I've been coaching my clients, my patients, for well over a decade now. And I, in 2013, realized that I could get much deeper and faster and more profound, long-lasting results if I started to work with the unconscious mind. And so at that point, I got trained in something called neuro-linguistic programming, which I call mind remapping and hypnosis and some rapid transformation therapy, which I know we're going to talk about a little bit later. But I did that, and I decided that, you know, I loved it so much that I wanted to become a trainer in it. So now what I do is I not only do deep work with people, deep unconscious mind work to help them to eliminate sort of like those unconscious, those invisible barriers that we have as we're trying to produce these various results in our life, but I also teach this work. I teach NLP, I teach mind remapping to other coaches or health professionals or people who just want to make a difference in not only their life, but the lives of others as well. So that's what I do right now.
Now, Dr. Myesha, I always like to go to the backstory of the deep why. Why did you decide to get into this type of work is dealing with the unconscious mind and just tapping into that you know, is really a territory that's really not practiced a lot. So what made you decide to get to this point?
Well, you know, so when I was in my private practice, I was getting good results with my patients. And a lot of what I was doing was, you know, helping them to change their lifestyle, to deal with the stressors in their life. But sometimes I would come up on, you know, certain people, certain patients who they would seem to have results and then backslide, or seem to have difficulty overcoming certain, you know, mental blocks that they were having in order to shift and change. And that's what sort of had me pique my interest. And what I discovered was that, you know, in working with the unconscious mind, you know, you can actually eliminate old emotions, the old stuck emotions, old limiting beliefs that are in the way, that are at the core in the way. And so for me, that was the thing, like, how can I not only just, how I say, not only just give a man a fish or give a woman a fish, but teach them the fish, like really heal them at the unconscious level. So then why I decided to become a trainer is exactly that. I feel that I've done a lot of one-on-one work, and I think it's been amazing. I've had some really great results. But what I'm most committed to is teaching these tools in a way that our community can really get them at the deepest level, because there's a lot of healing that you know, really I feel needs to take place in our community to elevate our health to the next level. Yeah. To elevate our, you know, our finances to the next level, to create legacy for our children. But there's a lot of installed beliefs that some have been passed down over generations that I think are keeping us in a space that's not as empowered as it could be.
Now, I hear you, and what intrigued me to you is the mind remapping. Now, can you kind of like explain a little bit to the audience more about mind remapping and the benefits?
Yeah, so mind remapping is a term that I sort of coined for the use of the use of the various unconscious techniques that I use. So I first want to distinguish the conscious mind from the unconscious mind. I think this is helpful with for the listeners to kind of visualize this. So if you think mm-hmm. of your mind as, you know, say an iceberg, right? Perhaps the iceberg that sank the Titanic. So think about your mind as this iceberg, right? And the top of the iceberg, the part of the iceberg that you can see, that's your uh-huh. conscious mind. That's all of the things that you're thinking, you're trying, you're remembering, you're, you know, all of the conscious mind efforts, you're figuring it out. All of those are conscious mind phenomenon, right? Then uh-huh. if you're, you know, looking in the ocean and there's a little bit of iceberg you can see just below the surface, that's the uh-huh. subconscious mind, right? So the subconscious mind, it's not things that are right at the surface, but just below. Some of our feelings, some of our emotions, some of our beliefs are in the subconscious. But then there's this whole part of the iceberg that you can see that goes deep down into the depths of the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
This is the part of the iceberg that sank the Titanic, by the way, right? This is the part mm-hmm. they didn't see. They saw it, mm-hmm. they saw the top, but they didn't see the deep part, and that's the part that sank them. This is the unconscious mind. This is where our deepest fears, our values, our trauma, like, gets caught up there. Our fears, our deeper limiting core beliefs, and they're all at the unconscious level. So when you think about that, and you think about how much we don't know that we don't know about what's going on in the unconscious mind, doing something like using tools like NLP and hypnosis, what I like to call mind remapping, allows us to connect our conscious mind with the unconscious mind so that there can be more healing. There can be the unconscious, the unknown can come up and be seen, to be dealt with, and mm-hmm. to be healed. And so that's the essence of mind remapping. It's just how we are using our language, our own internal language, right? Because the work that I do, NLP and hypnosis and all of that, it's not a do-to process. I don't fix people. I don't do things to people, right? This is a collaborative right. effort. I'm a guide. And so I help people to attune to their inner language, their yes. unconscious language, so that they can shift it. They can become aware of the things they're saying to themselves unconsciously that are not working, that are causing problems in their lives. And then to remap that, meaning to change the language, the internal language and the external language, so that you can create more powerfully in your life. That is what mind remapping essentially is.
And, you know, Dr. Melisha, I want to ask you, what are some of the common things you see in people who should be considered working on their mind remapping and working on their thoughts? What are some of the common things you see that triggers they should?
Well, so here's what I say. I say if you're trying to achieve anything in life, whether mm-hmm. then you should consider doing some work, right? This is the misnomer of this kind of work is that something has to be wrong in order mm-hmm. to do the work, right? And what I'm trying to normalize is that deep personal work and deep personal healing should be happening in everyone, because we all have goals. We all have goals
yes.
to be in better relationships, be better parents, you know, improve our finances, find our purpose, improve our career status, or get that mm-hmm. raise, or grow our business. And so if you have goals, period, then you want to be looking at, well, what's getting in the way of that? Now, if I want to go a little bit deeper, what I'll say is, for those people out there who know that there's something underlying that may be getting in the way of them having a good relationship, if you're in a relationship or if you're in multiple relationships, you've been in multiple relationships and they mm-hmm. haven't worked, and you're wondering what is it that you're doing. It's not that you're doing anything wrong. It's that there might be some programming that's causing you to behave, speak, you know, interact in a certain way that doesn't work. If you get so far with your career, your finances, and you tend to, mm-hmm. you know, what we call self-sabotage, there's nothing wrong with you. It's just that there may be some programming. There may be some behavioral programming that needs to be shifted and remapped. You know, if you're in if your finances, you get to a certain point with your finances, or if you feel like your parenting is ineffective, or if you, you know, it could be anything. If you feel like if you're a boss and you're not connecting with your employees, or you're a manager and you're not connecting with your colleagues or staff, and you know that this is a repeating theme, any repeating theme of unworkability, then there could be an unconscious pattern happening that's causing that block. And that's when you should consider doing this work or learning it for that matter.
Now, Dr. Maisha, my expertise and my interest as far as is in career strategy and people who want to make career transitions or move up in their positions, move up in their current positions where they are. Now, as far as the mind remapping, as far as somebody's just trying to make a career change, I see that a lot of people are stuck. And how would this kind of help them trying to get out of their own way and then to set those goals? Because where would you see this be a benefit for them to change? Because I actually just did a book, Handle with Care, 7 Essentials to Prepare, Pack, and Prepare for a Career Transition. And I talk about that at the beginning, before you even consider doing that career transition, you have to work on your mindset. And just coming in and bringing the mind mapping, remapping, let's discuss more, a little bit more about that.
That's a great question. So, you know, one of the things that when it comes to career transition, especially if someone has been in a job for a long time, or they're transitioning from career to entrepreneur, there's so many different scenarios, right? But the first thing is looking at, you know, what is your present conversation about the transition? What are your fears? Mm-hmm. What are your beliefs about yourself, about your capacity to make that transition, and even about the world out there? Because I find the biggest thing that gets in the way of a successful career transition is those conversations. Well, I don't have enough experience, or, oh, I'm not smart enough, or, oh, I don't know anything about business, or, you know, and that being something that actually stops people. But, you know, the truth is, when I first started my practice so many years ago, I didn't know a darn thing about business, but I learned, you know, so not knowing is not a condition for not doing, right?
Right.
You know, and I think that's one of the things that stops us. But in the career transition, the part of that mindset is being able to understand what your own present conversation is. And then to understand that those are limiting beliefs. Because once you recognize that they're limiting beliefs, then you can actually do something about it, right?
Yes.
Once you recognize that there's a limiting belief at play, you're not going to make yourself wrong. You're going to say, oh, you know what? That's my brain doing that thing that it does to try to protect me, when the limiting belief doesn't really protect you.
Yeah, that's true.
So
wow, that's good.
So what the mind remapping does? Oh, I apologize. I didn't mean to interrupt.
No. But I was just telling. That's good. So what you can go ahead. What the mind remapping does is.
Yeah. So what the mind remapping does is it gets you in tune with, oh, this is just a thing that my brain is doing. My brain is saying to try to protect me, but that's not true, right? And the mind remapping helps you to see where that conversation originated in your life. When the first time you ever had a I'm not good enough, or I'm not smart enough, or I'm not experienced enough conversation, when was the first time that ever happened in your life, right? That mind remapping helps you to see that. And then change the context, take the learnings from that situation so that you can change the context, what we call reframe the situation, and release the negative emotions like the fear or the guilt or the hurt or the anger or the sadness or whatever on that situation, release the limiting decision, and release all of the evidence that you built in your whole life to support that original decision, because that's what we do. We decide something early in our life, and then we look at the world for evidence that decision about us is true. So then by the time we get to a career transition, this stuff is deeply embedded in our unconscious mind. And we have to get the original thread of the sweater so that we can pull that thread and unravel all of the beliefs related to that original thread. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. That makes sense. And do you pretty much see this anytime someone's getting ready to make a life-changing decision, that particular belief comes up and it rears its ugly head?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, when that belief is there, I say how you do anything is how you do everything. So sometimes, you know, it comes up in the wake of maybe a career transition or maybe even a divorce, a relationship transition. But it inevitably affects every area of life. So when you get rid of it, when you get rid of it at the root cause, it actually gives a lot of freedom. And that's what I've seen in my clients. You know, like I just so much freedom and clarity about like the direction that one is going. So much clarity about, you know, a person's worth, you know, their worth, their value. Like that's what I see when we remove that originating thread.
All right, Dr. Moesha, we're going to have to take a quick break and we're going to come right back. So just hold on, everyone. We're going to be right back with Dr. Moesha. Stay tuned.
When you leave your business, do you leave the door unlocked? When facing legal matters in the business world, do not leave your business unprotected. There is help when it comes to business contracting, even collecting past due receivables from clients. An experienced attorney is critical to resolving disputes. Don't do it alone.
At SJS Law Firm, their mission is to partner with clients to help them achieve the business of their dreams and plans with timely and strategic legal advice. Their legal counselors and advisors committed, providing individualized service that is tailored to the unique needs of your business. SJS Law Firm provides the legal support you need to move forward with confidence. Secure the knowledge that you have a legal team watching out for your best interests. Don't leave the door open. Call SJS Law Firm, serving small business owners, entrepreneurs, and nonprofits. Call 202-505-5309. That's 202-505-5309. Or find them at the sjslawfirm.com.
Hello, this is Pamela Burkhead-Jones, Career Strategist, Certified Coach Consultant. I am super excited to tell you about my awesome new book, Handle with Care, 7 Essentials to Prepare, Pack, and Propel for a Career Transition. In this book, I share proven and brilliant methodology to move individuals who are ready for or considering a career change. No matter if you've been in position for 4 months or 40 years, the 7 Essentials will get you thinking and ready to prepare, pack, and prepare for your career change to a career you will enjoy with fulfillment and excitement. Pre-sales start Friday, February 5th, 2021. The book will be available March 2021, and you can begin ordering pre-sales right away. For more information, email me at proactivelifepbj@gmail.com. Or you can visit my website, liveproactively.com. More information will be coming soon. Thanks for hanging in there. We're back with Dr. Moesha. Now, Dr. Moesha, I want to go back real quick at the beginning of the show. You talk about the NLP and the hypnosis. Could you kind of explain that a little bit more? Because we didn't really talk about that as much.
Yes, that's so true. Yeah, so, you know, I talked about mind remapping being sort of a correlation of techniques, and one is called NLP or neuro-linguistic programming, and the other is hypnosis. So I'll start with NLP. NLP or neuro-linguistic programming, which is a long name, is really, it's specifically how we use our language, the internal language, like the language that we don't speak, and the language that we speak, the nonverbal, which is our body language, our tone of voice is verbal, you know, like how we use all of this language to help to program our mind in a way that helps us to be at our highest level of excellence. All right. So as an example, you know, if you're walking around using words like I can't, or I shouldn't, or I have to, these are not the most empowering words, right? Should, shouldn't, mm-hmm. can't. Even words like but, right? Using the but, the conjunction but, it negates whatever you say before it. So let me give you an example. I want to make more money, but I don't have any experience. Or mm-hmm. I want to invest in real estate, but I don't have any experience, right? So the but mm-hmm. just sort of cuts off any possibility, right? Mm-hmm. But if I just change one word, right? I want to invest in real estate and I don't have any experience. It just changes the energy of it, because the and doesn't cut off the possibility that you could gain experience in real estate. And then let's add one more little word at the end, right? I want to invest in real estate and I don't have any experience yet. See how different that sentence is?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And all I did was change a word and add a word, two very simple words. That's the essence of what I teach. That's like a very sliver of an example of what I teach when I teach neurolinguistic programming. It's the little ways that we use language that we're unconscious of that affect our belief systems, that affect our mind. And that can, those little, you know, insidious ways can stop big results. You see what I'm saying? So that's the essence of neurolinguistic programming. Also, we teach stimulus response. If anyone out there has ever heard of Pavlov and his dogs, it's an experiment where a scientist would ring the bell at a certain time. And when he'd ring the bell, his dogs would come running and he'd feed them their food, their meat. Mm-hmm. And what he noticed was that he would ring the bell and the dogs would come and they'd come salivating. And after a while, they'd salivate before he ever presented the food. So it's just like when you're in the kitchen and you smell some good dinner mm-hmm. cooking and your mouth already starts to water. That's a conditioned response. That's a stimulus condition response. Well, in NLP, we teach you how to create positive, like automatic responses in your body, right? That we call them anchors. You know, if you think about what an anchor is, when we see the light go from green to red, what do? We stop.
We go. Right. When we stop. I'm sorry. We stop. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And when we see the light go from red to green, we go, right? That's an anchored response. So we teach in NLP how to use language, how to use, you know, visual cues and how to create spaces that cause that automatic focus or concentration or confidence. I use this in my son even. Mm-hmm. So that's the essence of what neurolinguistic programming is. Now, I'm going to jump over a little bit to hypnosis, and then of course if you have any questions about that, I'd be happy to answer. Uh-huh. Hypnosis, people think hypnosis is mind control. I want to distinguish what it's not, right? People think hypnosis is mind control. It is not that. There is no sunken place. Get out, ruined ruin it for us, right? There's no sunken place, right? Hypnosis is simply a deep state of concentration, focus, and relaxation that allows the mind to, the conscious mind to relax so that you can get more in touch with the unconscious mind. It allows your mind to be a little bit more suggestible. Now, we're all suggestible all the time. People don't think they're suggestible, but they are. If you've ever been watching TV, watching a program, listening to a podcast, listening to a program, and you get so into it that someone calls your name and you don't hear them, you're in a state of deep, we call it deep focus and concentration. We call it trance. You're in a state of trance. If you've ever been driving and you've gone into deep thought and you accidentally missed your turn, guess what? You were in trance. If you've ever been exercising, if you're a runner or whatever types of exercise, and you get so in the zone that time just passes by, guess what? Mm-hmm. You're in trance. All hypnosis is a guided version of that, so that you and whomever you're, whether you're doing self-hypnosis or if you're working with a practitioner, you all can install positive suggestions that help you to produce the kind of results you want to produce in your life, or remove disempowering or remove unhealthy thought patterns that may be stopping you from producing specific results or achieving goals or being at your best self. That's all hypnosis is. In hypnosis, we cannot make you do anything that is outside of your value system. Right. If you're not, people always ask, what about the clucking like a chicken and the barking like a dog and the cracking like a dog? Right. Yes. That's stage hypnosis. And basically, the stage hypnotist is trained to choose people who would normally, if they had like a couple of drinks, they'd be doing that anyway.
Wow.
So that's performance hypnosis. Therapeutic hypnosis, we don't do that kind of stuff. We're just here to heal you.
Yes.
Stage hypnosis is entertaining because it does, you know, let people know like hypnosis is real. It can happen. And it is not a control process. It is a collaborative process. That's what hypnosis is, as well as neurolinguistic programming. Now, with NLP and with hypnosis, there are the techniques. And then there's the way you are in life, like the conversational. There's conversational hypnotic language, like if you're speaking on stage and you want your audience to relax so they can receive and hear what you have to say, you can use specific language patterns that help them to relax and get a rapport with them. You know, same thing with neurolinguistic programming. If I'm talking to my sister on the phone and my sister is speaking in a way that I know is not healthy for her unconscious mind, in the moment, conversationally, I can reframe her. That's a part of what NLP is. I can empower and frame her right in the conversation, right? Mm. Versus being in a session with someone where I design an intervention. So it's just very flexible and vast the way you can use both of these things. And especially if you're using them ethically.
Based on your experience, are you able to share some of your successes resulting from your services?
Absolutely. I want to share, a personal success, and I also want to share, you know, some successes with my clients. So one that really sticks out to me is a guy that I worked with. He's a doctor like me, and he mm-hmm. was coaching. And when we first met, he was, number one, he was way undercharging for the value of what he was giving. And mm-hmm. and number two, he was really having trouble acquiring clients. So he was struggling financially. And what I discovered and what we discovered in working together, that his internal conversation about his worth, to put it bluntly, was trash. His self-talk was so ugly. And so what we did six sessions of mind remapping, which is the typical of what I do, right? If I'm doing one-on-one work, six sessions of mind remapping to remove all the negative emotions that were connected to his worth, and then to remove the limiting belief of I'm not worth it, or I'm not enough, and I'm not worth it, and I'm not valuable. All of those conversations, we removed the root cause of those. And let mm-hmm. me tell you, Pamela, within 30 days of doing our work, before we were even done, he had closed his first high-ticket client. And when I say high-ticket, I mean in the tune of $5,000.
Uh-huh. Wow.
Right? So that was a big success for him. And he has gone on, because of the work, he has gone on to build a very successful company, right? Coaching and training company. He actually came back and did my NLP and hypnosis training. And he's building on, he's incorporating it now into his work. So that was a huge success, right? That was a huge success. And there have been many others like that. And I want to share sort of a personal success, because I believe that for some who are not entrepreneurs, for some who are not starting businesses, for some who are doing this for themselves, I think it's probably useful to hear something that's more personal. I said earlier that I use this with my son often. And my son is 6 and a half. And as you know, pandemic, we've been doing it pandemic style for the last year. He's been home until about the end of March is when they decided they were going to go back to school 2 days a week. And I'm in Atlanta, Georgia. I don't know where everybody's listening from, but I'm in Atlanta. So, we were out for a while, and then they said, okay, 2 days a week. Mm-hmm. So now Gelson started kindergarten at a new school virtually, which means he had never met any of his friends in person, nor had he met his teacher. Mm-hmm. And now they're announcing that they're going to go back to school in person. So my son starts giving me verbal indicators that he's nervous, you know, like before he actually says he's nervous, he's, you know, like, mommy, you know, when the first time that you went to school, how did you feel? Or, you know, did you make friends when you went to places where you didn't know people? Like, these are just indicators. That's another thing that NLP helps you to learn how to do, is to listen very closely so that you get the indicators of what's really going on behind the words. So I'm thinking to myself, yeah, he's nervous. So finally he says, mommy, you know what? I'm just a little bit nervous going back to school. And because I don't know anyone. So now one of the techniques that I said earlier was anchoring the stimulus response, right? And so I decided I was going to install an anchor to help him feel confident and calm when he goes to school. So I used a very particular technique where I have him recall a time in his life, in his very short 6 and a half year life. Oh man. Where he felt like he felt really confident. Like he felt calm and confident. Like he knew what he was doing. He felt so confident. And as he began to tell me the story, I could see his body language change. I could see his facial expression change. And what I did is, while he was experiencing that good feeling, I touched his knuckle in a particular place, right? You apply a stimulus. You apply a stimulus at the time of the feeling, and that's applying the anchor. So then I had him recall another story, and then as his body language just changed and he was in the good feeling, I touched the same point on his knuckle to apply the stimulus that would connect the feeling to that knuckle, right? Okay. And then I did it again. So at the end of it, we tested it out. I said, you know, touch, this is your, I call it the calm button. That's what I called it, because, you know, he's 6 and a half. I said, okay, this is your calm button. Anytime you feel a little nervous, you press this little place on your knuckle, and that's going to help you feel calm. So now the next day, this was on a Sunday we did this. The Monday came, and we're in the car, and we're driving in, and he says, mommy, I'm getting nervous again. And I said, Delson, you remember your calm button? And he says, yeah. And he presses the calm button, and I watch him from the front in the rearview mirror, and I notice that his body language changes. And he's like, yeah, I feel better now, right?
Oh, that is wonderful. Uh-huh.
Get this. So now he used it that day. Now my son also takes Kung Fu. It was maybe 6 weeks or so later, he had moved up to the next level in his class, and he was going to a new class in Kung Fu. Now, we hadn't used this quote-unquote calm button in 6-8 weeks or so by now. So he were driving to Kung Fu, and he says, mommy, I'm a little nervous going to this class, you know, like being in the new class for Kung Fu. Mm-hmm. And I said, Delson, do you remember that you have a calm button? And he says, oh, yeah. And he presses the knuckle. And he's like, oh, wow, I feel so much better now. So 6 weeks later, it still worked.
Wow, and that's good. That's really great information, and I'm just loving hearing your accomplishments and, you know, some of your good services, and definitely Adelson. Now he has that calm button that's going to be with him no matter what throughout the years, that he can just press it, and he doesn't have to be nervous or worry or whatever, you know, and he's feeling at that time. I just like that, to have that. So, Dr. Maisha, we're coming to a close of the show. So for those who listen to our show today and want to learn more about your services, follow you, can you give us your social media, any your website, anything that you have, and how would they get in touch with you if they want to learn?
Yes, absolutely. If they want to learn more about whether they want to learn about the personal work, or whether you're saying out there, gosh, I really want to learn these tools, you can go to my website, which is called remapmymind.com. That's remap, R-E-M-A-P, mymind, M-Y-M-I-N-D.com. And there you can learn more about the NLP, you can learn more about the rapid transformation, and you can learn our upcoming programs. We do have a training in July here in Atlanta. It's a small training, limited people, and in September and November. So if you're thinking, oh my gosh, I want to get in on a training, you can go to that website. If you want to keep up with me on social media, everything is Dr. Maisha. So Instagram, it's at Dr. Maisha. And that's D-R-M-A-I-Y-S-H-A. D-R-M-A-I-Y-S-H-A. Facebook, /Dr. Maisha, LinkedIn, Dr. Maisha, YouTube, Dr. Maisha, Twitter, Dr. Maisha. So it's all Dr.
Love
Maisha.
It. Love it. Well, I want to thank you, Dr. Maisha, for being on the show today. This has been a very informative and a great show, and I want to thank my listeners for tuning in. Remember, we're here every Thursday at 7 p.m., if you missed the show, the start of the show, you can always listen to it in the replay. And if you want to contact me, my website, liveproactively.com. I'm on Facebook as Pamela Burkhead Jones, and Proactive Life Coaching and Consulting, and also on Instagram at Live Proactively. So thanks for tuning in. Thank you, Dr. Maisha. I really appreciate the words
of
wisdom today.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. It was fun. I love this.
Good, good. And that ends the show. Thank you all.